Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Well, I raised the temperature in here this morning, so it should be a little bit warmer than normal. It's really cool to be able to see kind of what we just experienced with Elder Lou, and also what we're going to be experiencing this afternoon as we kind of do a commissioning with David and Margaret. It's kind of the lifeblood of the church. Actually see the church at work and see Elder Lou kind of being like really truly like kind of laying down his life to be a servant, to kind of give himself over to shepherding God's people. So it's a really neat thing to be a part of and to see, and it's also going to be a neat thing this afternoon to kind of see David and Margaret, Mr. and Mrs. Fine, be commissioned into the mission. So really cool. I hope you guys can hope all of you can take the opportunity this afternoon to go and be a part of that. So, well, before we get into God's Word this morning, why don't I open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the work of the church. We thank you that you are working through your people and in your people. And we thank you that you are working in and through Oakland Chinese Church. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit as we look at the work of your Spirit even today. And that we know, Lord, that your Spirit has been with you. The Spirit is part of the triune God, that you are the three in one. Your Spirit has been alive and working since eternity. And we see it from the beginning of your Word in Genesis all the way until the end. So, Father, this morning, I pray that your Spirit would work in us. I pray that we would understand that we are meeting with you, that you are present in this room right now, that we would come to you in an act of worship as we look at your Word, as we listen to your message. I pray that you would move in our hearts. I pray that this would not just be an activity of going through the motions of sitting and listening to a message, but, Lord, that your Spirit would be working in us. I pray that we would be continually transformed and empowered by your Holy Spirit to do your work, to see what you're doing, and to participate in what you are doing. Father, thank you again for giving us your Word, for showing us what your big story is and what your plan is for us. And I pray that you would show us how we fit in, what our purpose is in being a part of this greater, grand, big plan. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So last week, as we continued in God's big story, I referred to a passage that talked about, hey, we are living in the last days, all right? And I said, hey, this is kind of crazy. In some ways, it's kind of crazy to call it the last days. It's been, you know, it's been a few centuries, maybe a few millenniums, you know. It's been a couple thousand years, okay? But nevertheless, it's called the last days because we are living in a unique time in history, my friends. You and I are being able to see something that most aren't able to see. We're in the last segment of God's big story. The last segment of God's big story is being played out before our very eyes. In fact, Jesus himself said this. He said, hey, keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. So, really, right now, and the segment of history that we are living in and the part of God's story that we're living in, really Christ can come at any time. All of the things that have need to be fulfilled are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled. So we are closer, of course, it's kind of a strange statement to say, but we are closer than ever than for Christ to return. All right? And if you'll remember, I kind of described these last days. Last week, I used Trump's Tower in Chicago to describe kind of the state that we're in these last days, okay? Because we are kind of, again, God's kingdom has begun. When Christ returned, he inaugurated, he started his kingdom. And also, I reminded you that, hey, you also are started. Like, God has done, has begun a work in you, but we're not yet complete, all right? With the coming of Christ, the new kingdom was inaugurated. And his kingdom is under construction, and God's reign on earth has been started, but it's just simply not completed. So we are living right now in a time between here and here. Okay? This is the Trump Tower in 2009 when it's projected to be finished. We're kind of living in a time that's already and yet not yet. We're not finished yet. God's work isn't done yet. His reign isn't fully here on earth, and His reign in your life isn't completed yet. God is still molding you. God is still working you. And I kind of exhorted you guys, hey, be graceful with one another. Show grace to one another. Show mercy to one another. Because you know that when your parents or you yourself slip back into kind of your old nature, that God is not done with you. And God is not done with your friends. And God is not done with your parents. And God is not done with everyone in that room. He's still working in our lives. So show grace to one another. Okay? Doesn't mean excuse sin. Just means that we're still under construction. All right? But in fact, God actually, through it in Scripture, we're given a description of what these last days will look like, how people will be in these last days. And again, we are close. Every generation now, from now on, is like, hey, we know that any day, and the Bible says it'll be an ordinary day. The Bible says people will be getting married. People will be at the grocery store. People will be sleeping. People will be at school. It'll be an ordinary day when Christ comes. It won't be like there'll be a countdown on the TV or on CNN or anything. It'll be an ordinary day when He returns, okay? So be ready. But Scripture gives us a description of what people will be like, what the times will be like in these last days. He gives a description to Timothy, and I want to share it with you, okay? This is kind of what the last days will be like. He says this. Paul says this to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, and I'll say this to you. You should know this, that in these last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Okay? So does that sound like our times? Does that sound like what you kind of see in our culture right now? What you see in the world right now? People loving themselves and their money. People who are boastful and proud. Scoffing at God. People who are, as you look out, maybe you see disobedience to parents or ungratefulness. Do you see that now? He goes on to say, They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others, and they won't have any self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. Basically saying, hey, we don't need God. Okay, we don't need God anymore. They will love pleasure. They will be pleasure seekers. Does it kind of sound like our society? Rather than God, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Okay, out of 2 Timothy. So, maybe this sounds like our world today to you, or maybe it doesn't. But according to Scripture, we truly are in the final segment. We're in the final segment of God's story. We're living it, we're seeing it today. But the one question that remains is, okay, so we're in the final segment of God's story. We're just kind of waiting for His return. He's already come. He's fulfilled all the promises. He's hung on the cross. You know, in Him we can find life and forgiveness of sins. Hey, we're kind of waiting for Him to return. Basically, the question that remains is, what are we supposed to be doing? Okay, what are we supposed to be doing while we wait for Him to return? What kind of business are God's people supposed to be out in these last days before He arrives? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, last week I touched on a Scripture passage where God gave His followers a mission. Okay, again, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, He was very clear to His followers what He wanted them to be doing, what kind of business He wanted them to be about while we're waiting for Him to return. Okay, so before He ascended into heaven, He gave us both a command and He gave us a promise, a command and a promise. Okay, so here's the command that He gave us. I read this last week. It was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed, okay, in the authority of His name to all the nations. beginning in Jerusalem, there is forgiveness for sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. So again, the message is that His command to us, what He said, what would be even predicted by Scripture beforehand, is that this message would be proclaimed to all the nations. And it's kind of exciting as we commission David and Margaret. This is kind of what we're doing. We're sending them out to proclaim the message, in this case, to East Germany. And for Rich and Susan Bay, it was in Asia, right? Or maybe you've heard the passage, another, of course, the more direct command that Jesus gives to us is this classic passage out of Matthew 28. It's the Great Commission. Jesus said, "I've been given authority on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Go out. Everyone, go out. And make disciples, make followers of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Okay? So this is our mission. This is what the church is supposed to be about until He returns. To go and make followers of Jesus and the nations. To get out there and go proclaim. Go proclaim that, hey, there is some good news. Because as Christians, we are in a spot where we can see and experience hope that other people just don't have. They can't see it. They can't understand it. That there is hope out there. All that stuff that you've been striving for and going after, all the restless lives that you've been living, we've experienced like a sense of hope. And we can go out there and say, hey, we've got good news for you. Are you looking for good news? We've got some good news for you. So this is Jesus' command to us, to get out there and share this good news. And at the heart of the command, at heart of God's command, is really Him, again, Him reaching out. When He tells us, our church, our ministry and churches of the Big C, God's people, to go out, at the heart of it, He's basically, God is like reaching out. All right, He is reaching out through us. He's reaching out, okay? He's reaching out to those who don't know Him. And basically, He's reaching out, again, because His whole thing is that He loves people. God loves people. And He wants people who are now estranged from Him, who are far from Him, to be restored back into Him. So at the very heart of it all, the why He's telling us this command to go out and proclaim God's good news is He wants people, He loves people, and He wants people to be restored back into relationship with Him, in a loving relationship with Him. All right? So I want to show you this morning, I want to show you just a short clip. Okay, we're going to watch a short, just a clip of a guy named Sean who kind of reflects this heart. He reflects God's heart of like, man, God really wants to reach out to those who don't know Him. So we're going to watch a short clip of this guy named Sean, and he takes this God's command very seriously of going out and proclaiming the good news. And so basically what we're going to see is just his story of how he went in to where he worked and basically reflected God's heart. He followed God's command, okay? And we're going to hook up the sound here real quick. But just listen to how, I want you to listen to how it began with him, how he was motivated, what motivated him to go and share this good news with people, okay? So let's see if we can kick this up. Oh, nuts. Okay.
It's a scary thing to think about that there are so many people walking around every day that don't know the love of Christ and don't have eternal salvation. And when their time is up, and they're going to face either heaven or hell. And it's God has shown me so much that I can't just sit back and be a bystander while souls perish. And so I pray every single day, Lord, use my life to glorify You. And my desire is for people to know the way to heaven, that there is only one way, and it's through Jesus. So I started working at Home Depot just about 2 years ago, and fresh off of radical change. And as soon as I went there, God just began to share with me in my personal time that He wanted to do something great at Home Depot. before I would go to work, I would kind of be apprehensive still about sharing my belief in Christ. And I began to lean on a scripture that said, he who trusts in the Lord will never be put to shame. And I've just seen that that every single time I've stepped out in faith, that I've never been put to shame, and God has always come and met me there. And so just sharing my faith, just being open with people, and not preaching to people, but showing them, like, this is what happened in my life. This is what God did. And I want to share this with you. And it's not something that's just real to me. It's not, God's not just real to me. Not just, although He is real in my life, He's real. He's real everywhere. And He can be real to you, too. Going from living a life, the desire to be an entertainer up in front of the stage, to going to Home Depot and just mixing paint, that's something that did not appeal to me. But God gave me a higher purpose. And He showed me that I was there for a reason, that I wasn't just there to mix paint, that I was there as a missionary that He had placed in there, and that my call was to share Christ with everyone that I could. When I first started working there, there was one other Christian. And this is a place where there's 250 people working. There was one other Christian that I knew of who proclaimed her faith in Christ out loud. And since then, we've seen that I'd say probably more than 75% of the people there are Christians. A fire starts in one person, then it just sets the whole place ablaze. And I've just seen that it hasn't been because the first couple months that I worked there, or even year almost, I felt like I was doing it on my own, sharing Christ to people on my own. And then God began to add people to the team. And that's when I saw Brandon, who plays in the worship band. I got to see him give his life to Christ and surrender everything in his life to the Lord. And as I would go and talk to people about the Lord, then Brandon would come behind me and back it up. And then I got to see Trisha, who is now my fiance. I got to see her come back to Christ. And it's kind of like that was the beginning core of things. And then through then, when Brandon would go and talk to someone about Christ, and then I would be able to come and talk to him, and then Trisha would follow up the next day and talk to him. It was like they were getting hit by every angle, and just with the love of God. And I got to see that just kind of kept going and kept going. And as it started off, it didn't start off big. It started off really small. And then now it's just everyone's open to the gospel. They've all heard it. And they've all seen an example. They've seen it many times. And the ones that haven't given their lives to Christ are on their way.
Okay. What I like about this is that this is just like a real story. It's not something that, you know, you kind of read about. It's like it's something that really happened. Like the guy was just he was mixing paint at you know, a Home Depot, and he just experienced. He made himself available for God to work, and God did amazing things through him. And you may say, "Look, hey, you know what? I am not shy, okay? I'm not the kind of guy or kind of girl who goes in and like shares my faith with all these kind of people and like sees, you know, he said basically he saw, based on his testimony, about 3/4 of his coworkers became followers of Jesus, you know, 187.5 people or whatever, you know, became followers of Jesus. And you say, like, look, I could never do that. I could never really go in. I think of myself, I picture myself in my classroom, school, or my place of work. And I can't picture myself going up and just kind of sharing about my life and sharing about Jesus with other people. And I can't imagine 3/4 of my school or something like that coming to know Jesus, okay? But my response to that is, like, if you say, look, I can't do that, my response to that is, you're right. You're right. You can't do that. You can't go into your school. You can't do this and, like, have 3/4 of your school come to know the Lord. Because, actually, I don't think Sean actually did that either. Because, basically, what Sean did is he made himself available to God. It wasn't Sean who who brought people into the kingdom of God. It wasn't Sean who opened people's eyes up to their need for Him. It was the Spirit's work who did this. Okay? You see, like Sean was plugged in. Okay? What Sean did was he wasn't maybe apt in explaining the gospel. He wasn't like a super Christian or anything like that. Because all those, I know that in your mind you think, only super Christians go out and share their faith. Only super Christians are the ones who see people come to know Christ. But that just simply is not true. It's not true. It's not that Sean has an amazing ability or anything like that. It's just that simply Sean was plugged into the power source, okay? He got plugged in. And you listen to, if you hear how his description was of how God began to work through him, this is what he said. He said, you kind of recall, he said, you know what, I pray every single day that Lord would use my life. He said, I pray every day, Lord, just use my life to glorify you. Basically, Sean was saying, look, I go to the Father and I say, I'm available for you. I'm available for you to do your work through me. Okay? That's part of getting plugged in. Just saying, look, hey, here I am. Take me. And he said, I just pray every day. I pray, God, just use me to glorify you. All right? Use me to advance your kingdom, to do what you want to do. He said this. He also said, God began to share with me in my personal time that he wanted to do something great at Home Depot. So he was basically saying, look, it was really in my personal times with the Lord. It was when I was meeting with him that I heard that God wanted to do something at Home Depot. He was plugged into God. He was plugged into God's Spirit. He was saying, look, I'm going to meet with you. And it was through that time that God revealed to him, there's something I want to do through you, Sean. There is something I am doing at Home Depot where you work that I want to accomplish. But if he would never have met with God, if he would have just been kind of going to work, going through the motions, he'd never had personal times with the Lord, he would have never heard this. You know, he wouldn't be available to God. He wouldn't know what God wants from him. Okay? So he was kind of plugged in that way. But again, Sean wasn't like he's not a super Christian. You don't have to be an amazing, you know, what people think as super Christians for God to work through you. Even he himself said, look, I was very apprehensive before I went to work. You know, like as he's driving to work, he'd kind of get this nervous feeling or kind of be like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can be this kind of witness to you, to my coworkers. He was apprehensive. But remember what happened? He leaned on some scripture. He said, I just kept reminding this remembering the scripture that he who trusts in the Lord will never be put to shame. He who puts his faith in the Lord will never be put to shame. So he said, I leaned on that. He was still plugged in. He was plugged in with God's word. He was plugged in with God with prayer. He was plugged in with God in meeting with him. And that's how God began to work through him. All right? So he relied on the Lord to empower him. And I want to tell you that it doesn't matter. The numbers don't matter, okay? Like you say, well, I can never imagine 3/4 of my coworkers or 3/4 of my school coming to know the Lord if I were to begin to catch on fire. And remember, he said it was just one person that caught on fire. When he got there, it was just he and one other person that he was aware of that proclaimed their faith in Jesus. It was just one person that started the spark. But again, it wasn't like he was a super Christian, and it's not the numbers. I tell you what, if you are plugged in to the Lord, if you are tracking with him, if you are in prayer with him and meeting with him, where the Holy Spirit's working through you, it has nothing to do with the numbers. If you are plugged into him and you follow him and you obey what he says when you're plugged in, then you've succeeded. That is success. It doesn't mean that you may see people come to know the Lord, but you may not. But if you're following what he says, if you're obeying him, then you're a success. It's not the numbers. It's just that you are plugged into him, and you are tracking with him, and you're obeying him, and you're seeing life flow through you because you're plugged in. All right? So basically, what we need to understand is that It's the same. It was the same back in biblical times as it is now. That basically, when the disciples first received, when the 12, you know, say we take 12 people and basically Jesus is sitting with his 12 and basically, can you imagine if Jesus said, okay, all of you 12, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, I want you guys, you 12, I want you guys to share my good news with the whole world, okay? And when I come back, let's hope that it's all done, okay? I want you to share it to everyone in the world without giving them any kind of empowerment. That'd be pretty crazy if you just said, look, hey, you guys go out and share the good news. I'll be back sometime later. Let's hope that it's all done when I get back. It'd be crazy if he just kind of left us like that, left us open. But he also gave us not just a command, but he also gave us a promise. Okay? He gave us a promise. And here's the promise. He said, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Okay? So you see, God not only told the people to proclaim the good news, but He gave them the power to do it. Okay? So it's like this. I mean, it would be one thing if God just told us to like do something, like gave us a kind of a command for us to do and didn't empower us. So it would be almost like this. We are kind of like God's, in some ways, God's tool. All right? And it is like someone giving you a drill and like saying, I want you to drill some holes and you don't have any power to do so, so you kind of have to kind of do it yourself, kind of do it on your own. It doesn't really work very well. If you're not plugged in, if you don't have any kind of power source, then you are just kind of like a drill that's not plugged in. All right, but again, the difference is that God gives us, when He sent the Holy Spirit, He gave us, when you're plugged in, when you're tracking with the Lord, when you're meeting with Him daily and you feel the life of God flowing through you, you see people in a different way. You see things that other people don't see, and you have courage and boldness that you normally wouldn't have unless you were plugged into Him. So once you get plugged into God, it's a whole new ball game, because God gives you something. Now I don't want to drill into that. You know, so you can do things that you normally would not be able to do had you not been plugged into God's power. But see, the trick is, again, ultimately, that He has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us this gift. It's just a matter of if you'll be plugged in or not. Whether you be empowered to do His work, just whether you do it on your own or whether you're truly like empowered by God, all right. So it is truly by His Spirit working in and through God's people that God really extends His kingdom. That God is kind of bringing us back, because we know that basically once everyone has heard the gospel, once everyone who's supposed to have heard the gospel, that's heard the gospel that God planned for them to come to know Him, that's when Jesus is going to return. So in a sense, the quicker that we can share the gospel with all the nations, as soon as people know about Jesus, have an opportunity to hear about Jesus, respond to Jesus, the quicker that Jesus is going to return. Okay? So I want to share with you just real quickly to kind of close out. Scripture, since the work of the Holy Spirit is so prevalent all the way from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelations, I want to share with you just one of the ministries of the Spirit of God, okay? This is a ministry of the Spirit of God. And here it is. One of the things that the Spirit does as He works through you, or even independently of you, is that He brings new birth to people. He gives people new birth. And that's kind of a weird concept. I know it's like, maybe you've heard this before, of being born again or whatever. It's kind of a strange concept to understand of a new birth. But Jesus told Nicodemus this. He said that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Okay? Unless he's born again. And maybe you've heard the term of a born-again Christian, born-again believer. But what he meant by this is that basically, we are all on our own, okay, by our own nature. We're all rebels against God, and we of ourselves would never seek God without the Holy Spirit helping us. Okay, so when we approach people, when we share the gospel with people, when we share the good news with people, they would never themselves respond to the gospel. They would never themselves respond to Jesus just by our words or just by us sharing with them. It has to be the Spirit working in them to kind of open their eyes, to kind of like if their eyes are shut to spiritual things, to God, to Jesus, to the Bible, God kind of has to go for them and kind of like pry their eyes open to kind of their sin, to kind of their need. So we can go to people and we can share the gospel, but it's really, it has to be the Spirit of God who kind of like opens up their eyes and allows them to see their sin and kind of their need for Him. Okay? And it's the Holy Spirit that kind of gives us, that kind of helps us to help people to be spiritually born. Like each of us has like a physical birthday. If you all think back, each of you can point to a date and time where you were physically born. But if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you also have a spiritual birth. And you may be able to point to that day or that time, or you may not be able to. But at some time in your life, when the Spirit kind of worked in you, your eyes were opened up and you were born. You can probably point back to a time when you were spiritually awakened, when you were kind of reborn. And that's kind of what we think about when we go through baptism, is that person is dead in Christ and they are risen with Christ. They're kind of alive now with Christ. So we need, it's ultimately that it is God's Spirit that has to do the work. Many of you, and what you saw in the video, actually, with Sean seeing many of his coworkers become Christians, was that basically he was seeing that the Holy Spirit was opening up people's eyes to be new Christians. And the role for him was just to be plugged in, okay? So again, for you, for all of you, what your role is in this, and as we think about the last days, as we think about, hey, we are living in God's last segment of God's big story, your role, essentially, is that in fulfilling the Great Commission, fulfilling what God wants us to do, to go out and to share to all the nations, starting with just Jerusalem, which means you don't have to be going to East Germany. You don't have to be going to Asia. You don't have to be going anywhere. You can start right where you're at now, at your school, in your classroom, with your neighborhood, with your friends. But what your role is to simply get, is to get plugged in, okay? Is to get plugged in. And that means just, that means spending time with the Lord. That means being connected with Him relationally, to finding out what His will is, to being connected to Him in prayer. If you remember Sean's prayer, basically his prayer was like, Lord, just use my life. Use my life to glorify You. And that's what our role is. That's what our prayer ought to be. Like, here I am. Basically, use me. Use me for whatever You want me to do. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'm gonna close this in prayer. The next few weeks, we're going to be taking a break from this big story. We're going to have a couple of guest speakers. Dr. Joe Chalufa will be here, and then Randy Speck will be here the following week. But I want to share with you this last passage by Paul. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Jesus Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." Why don't we close in prayer, and then I've got a few announcements for us. Father, I pray as we kind of look at the story of, or the testimony of Sean, I pray that You would start a spark in each one of us. I pray, Father, that we would be, that Your Spirit would independently move in each one of us. Lord, we know that Your work cannot be accomplished without the power of the Spirit working in us. I pray that You may, if it needs to be, that You need to awaken us, then awaken us. Like, start a fire in us. Start a fire in our ministry. Because, Lord, we can try with all of our might, with our own effort, but unless You do Your work, unless You do Your work in our lives personally and in our church, nothing will happen. Nothing will be changed. So if it means that You need to wake us up, if it means that You need to spark something in us personally, then Lord, do Your work. However You do that, whether it be through sometimes through pain, or whether it be through something that we reread in Your Word, whether it be some message that we hear, Father, do Your work, because Lord, nothing's going to happen unless Your Spirit sweeps through our lives. Father, I pray that we would take this command that You've given us very seriously. That we would take this idea, this command that You've given us to share the good news with others very seriously. Because this is the last words that You gave to us, is to go out to the nations and share the gospel. Share the good news that there is a Savior. There is hope out there. I pray that our hearts would be just like Sean, who just said, like, I don't want to see. There are people out there who are perishing, who are facing heaven or hell, and they are on the brink of heaven and hell in eternity. Have us have this. Give us a sense of urgency. Give us a sense of being burdened for You and for those people who are lost. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we respond in song, and then I've got a...